Item number 13.
From the Interim Chief Information Officer, Department of Administrative Services, Information Management Services, submitting an informational report regarding the electronic medical record system. Also to the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services, informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right, good morning. Thank you, Ms. Pinella, for joining us.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Committee members, my name is Laurie Pinella. I am the Interim Chief Information Officer for IMSD. The item we have before you today is an informational report on a capital project that IMSD is managing. This on an electronic medical records system. We are looking at providing an electronic medical records system for BHD as well as replacing the existing system at the Sheriff's Department. The gentleman sitting to my left, his name is Sushil Pillai. He is with the Joxel Group. Mr. Pillai was hired through an RFP process back in August to be the project manager for this endeavor. I'd like to hand the microphone over to Sushil, and he can give an update of where we are.
Madam Chairman, Supervisors, good morning.
Good morning.
We are right now in what we call as a phase two. So let me just backtrack and get you up to speed as to what we have done so far. We were engaged, as Ms. Pinella indicated, to start capturing all the requirements. And as you may be aware, we went through a similar type of an exercise with the sheriffs. So we had a lot of lessons we learned in the process. So we kind of integrated all of that, put together a game plan. We started with both the areas. We brought in project managers to work with the sheriffs as well as with BHD to capture all requirements. And when we capture requirements, we capture requirements with every single entity within BHD, dietary services, nursing, the medical directors, fiscal, long-term care, the HMO part, which is the outsourced services, sale, and so on and so forth. So we captured all information, and we generated an RFP. And we sent the RFP out on January 7th to about eight vendors. These eight vendors were selected. We have a list of about 450 vendors that we track, out of which about 22 of them are in the behavioral mental health area, very similar to the BHD business. And of which we selected about eight of them that we felt were very appropriate for BHD. And we submitted the RFP to those eight vendors. In addition, we posted the RFP in our procurement site, and we also put an advertisement in the Daily Reporter informing resident vendors and everybody the fact that there's an RFP out. We received an additional four to five vendors who have responded to this RFP. So we have a pretty good collection of people who have expressed a letter of intent for this RFP. So the RFP is out. The next step that we will be going through is an evaluation process. And we are going to be doing an evaluation on two fronts. An initial evaluation will be an evaluation of the RFP to make sure it meets all the needs and we have the right level of mix. And BHD has identified a core group of people who would be evaluating this RFP along with sheriffs and the DBE as well as DAS and some county board members also into that process. So we will be evaluating the RFP, and then the second phase would be with the evaluation of the RFP, we'll select the core vendors, maybe two to four vendors, who we would invite to do a very detailed demonstration. And in the detailed demonstration, we'll probably get to a very fine detail as to who would be the right fit for sheriffs and the right fit for PhD. So that's the process that we are following. And with that, I will turn it back to you if you have any questions.
Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is for Ms. Pinella. Well, actually, it could be for either one of you, too, or Lyde. I'm sure you're aware, and we've been asking this in each committee, that due to the possibility of the extension of the UWM land sale, WO44401, our BHD MCSO, has $500,000 attached to it. It's coming from the $5 million that we were supposed to receive in 2011. How will that affect the future of this project?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, we met yesterday, or I met yesterday with DAS, Mr. Booker and Mr. Regini, and we are right now putting together costs that will take us up to the RFP process to see exactly, or the final process when we get to vendor selection, to see exactly how much money we are going to need. Then we're going back to Mr. Booker and Mr. Regini and looking at where we're going to come up with this money.
But, Madam Chairman, just refresh my memory. What was the total project cost? Because I don't think, isn't the $500,000 only a portion of it?
Yeah.
Yes. The total project cost will come in somewhere between $2.5 and $3.5 million is our estimate. We are looking at financing, not only the product itself, but the project management services, the configuration, mm-hmm. and the whole implementation. That is part of the RFP. We are requesting financing options.
Yeah, I mean, Madam Chairman, just like O'Donnell, you know, and this is a great endeavor, and it's extremely important that we move forward on it. So, you know, please keep in touch with us, as you know, even in between committee meetings, via email and memos and whatnot, because I think I'm speaking for some people. I'm extremely concerned. And we just, the questions we have is how will it affect it, and once we find out how it's going to affect it, what is it that we can do together to solve this? Because we want these to proceed. I'm at a loss for answers and ideas too. And some people have referred, oh, let's dip into the contingency fund. Well, it's not like it's an endless hole of money. and if everyone's dipping in and dipping there, then we won't have a contingency fund, which is the point of, we're almost in February. We need it for the whole year. If anything else could happen, I hope not. So I'm highly concerned.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for those comments. I just wanted to add that BHD is very supportive of this initiative. Some of the areas that were identified as part of the statement of deficiency, which dealt with more of sloppy, you know, kind of record keeping, and as we've had our initial discussions with the Joint Accreditation Group, this becomes critical with reference to being able to identify individuals from the point of admission and track them all the way through billing. As we also look at, you know, some of the advantages of having an electronic medical record system, there will be advantages in terms of our whole kind of accounts billing area, how we bill, the timeliness of that, and there is some, you know, projected savings once the system is up and running that will be extremely beneficial to BHD, to any model that we have. Most other similar types of facilities, be they hospitals, have an electronic medical record. You go into physicians' offices and clinics, and you see they're able to know when your last visit was, mm-hmm. what kind of medications you're on. And so, you know, we certainly are hoping that this will proceed in a timely manner to really have some real benefits to us as we kind of look at, you know, what our new structures are going to be, look at our new building. So it is something that we totally support as we move forth with this.
Supervisor, I'm not sure if I understood what was said in terms of the financing of this. Are we saying that we didn't bond? It's not a bond. Yeah, obviously, we're cash financing this initial piece. The ultimate purchase, we're expecting the vendor is going to provide us financing. Is that what I understood? So.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was in our RFP. We had, Madam Chair, Supervisor, we had asked the vendor to provide us with financing options. When that comes back, we will turn that over to DAS to do an analysis of that financing option. Because we are looking at a hosted solution where the vendor is actually housing the hardware and the software, it is not bondable. It can only through the governmental laws of accounting, it has to come from cash.
And then, given that that's actually great, that's where I was going. If it's hosted by them, do we not own it? Is this their? I mean, it's their proprietary system. We won't own the code that we're paying for.
We have done this in the past. We actually have two large systems in the county. The HR payroll system is one, and the pension retirement system is the other. Both are hosted solutions. What we have done in the in a hosted solution environment, the vendor owns the software. But what we have done is in the contract, we have established language that says if the vendor were to be out of business or something happened, which created a significant risk impact to us, they would keep the software in a lockbox, so to speak, so that we have access to the software in case of a situation of that sort. So we are protected in the sense that if something happens, we have access to the software and we can continue to use the software. We would have obviously hosted elsewhere. But we have enough security from our standpoint to use the software in a case something happened. But if the vendor is in business, that's great for us because the enhancements and changes to the software we can take advantage of. But the vendor owns the software.
How does that? We're effectively locking ourselves into this vendor long term. And how are we protected long term that we don't have rates in terms of upgrades and continuing service on this that don't just go up out of control, and that we basically can't easily make a switch.
There are two cost elements that come from an ongoing operating cost standpoint. One is the annual maintenance cost, the other is the hosting fee. Both, we would write it up in the contract in terms of managing the level of increase they do on a contractual basis. So it will protect us. We right now have two vendors that I'm aware of that we have such a relationship, and I don't believe in either of them the cost surge, so to speak, on annual operating cost has even been there. I mean, if it has, it's been virtually negligible. But I don't believe they have increased hosting cost or annual maintenance cost.
And then in terms of what we actually get, all the vendors essentially have a software solution, and what we're really paying for is the customization for our scenario. So it's not as though none of them are really creating a custom. I mean, it's custom product to our needs, but it's not like they're starting fresh.
Supervisor, Chairman, correct. We would look at something like an 80-20 rule, where 80% of it is a canned product and 20% is something that is either customized or it will be an interface to maybe an existing software or existing program that we have, and I'm thinking particularly SAIL with Accenture, something along those lines. So the majority of it will be a canned solution.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there?
No, one card.
Thank you. Candace Owley. Federation of Nurse and Other Health Professionals. Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And given the agenda, I'll be brief, but I apologize that I evidently have not been following this closely enough, but I just want you to know that people on judiciary know this, that we had enormous, enormous problems with the electronic record at corrections. Our members had to keep paper records as a side backup document. I don't even want to tell you about the errors that were made that would raise issues. But as a result, it led to the county audit. Because of our complaints, the county did an audit that showed what a disaster that system was. It is critical that our members be directly involved in all of this. There are hardware issues, there are software issues. The whole healthcare system is putting an electronic records, in part because there's a stimulus, you know, money attached to it and some requirements. I was on the governor's electronic records committee dealing with this at a state level, and I can assure you if we do not build into this the involvement of the people who are going to use this and record, make the record keeping in this, that we will have more disasters. And the training, the amount of time that you have to put in to make sure the staff is trained, which, you know, the mental health center will mean overtime because there's no surplus of staff, that if we don't do that, these electronic records create an electronic way of making enormous medical errors. And so I don't know where this process is or how to make sure that our organization is at least tied in here to make sure that our frontline users are directly involved, because we do not want to be back here telling you that they have now selected another system that is a disaster that we've got to get rid of and find another replacement. I heard a lot about the billing. I just want to say one of the absolute top electronic medical records in the country is the VA. It's fabulous, and we also represent the VA, nurses, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's because it was built around patient care, not around billing. It was a clinical, these are clinical applications that the doctors and the nurses and the pharmacists have to be able to work with. Yes, billing is an issue, but it is really about how is this going to help us clinically. And so I just wanted to, you know, put that on the record that, you know, we've kind of had some experience here that was very bad, and we want to make sure that we help make this a very good experience, but it is not a cheap experience whatsoever. You know, I mean, I hear you talking about the hardware costs, but let me tell you, there are a whole lot of other operational costs, and we had software costs. We had as much hardware problems, slow screens. If your screen takes a minute to come up, you cannot, you know, engage in the clinical behavior that you have to have. So there are a lot of issues. It was about the wiring of the facilities. Also, I know a new facility, but, you know, down in corrections, the equipment that was there. So I hope that this is looked at in the most comprehensive way. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Lipscomb?
I just want to make sure we're going to get a response to that.
Sometimes
questions are raised and then no one.
Madam Chair, Supervisors.
Go ahead.
I apologize. I was not around when the tier was implemented, but have read the audits and walked away with lessons learned from that project. This is why we hired Mr. Pillai and his organization. When we did RFP, we were looking for an EMR expert to come to the table to help us drive this project. From August to mid-November, end of November, Mr. Pillai and his team were embedded within BHD and MCSO, meeting with the medical directors, the nurses, intake, I believe we put the list of groups that they met with. They interviewed, what are your requirements, how is this going to work for you, what do we need in order to make sure that this is successful for both BHD and for MCSO. Those requirements are what created the RFP. And all along there have been meetings with these groups and these individuals to make sure that we've addressed all the issues. That sounds about right.
Sorry, I just had something came to me. Relative to the hosting, is this hosted remotely or is it hosted in our... is it their equipment in our building? Like, when we have internet outages, which we have, will the system be down?
Madam Chairman, Supervisor, it's very similar to what we have today. Today, all your HR payroll is hosted elsewhere. All your pension retirement work is hosted elsewhere. It's hosted in New York. And we access the system through computers, laptops, thin clients, through our network. And what we do is to ensure that we have... And BHD is a 24/7 operation, so is MCSO. So what we do is we build redundancy in our network so that if a line drops or if a line breaks, we have other ways of getting through. So if there's an outage here, we have another way to get into into the area. So we build redundancy to ensure there's no failure points. So that's how we manage in a hosted environment. I hope I answered your question.
Okay. I just worry. I mean, I've seen our systems go down for periods of time, and even BlackBerry went down for a while. Facebook or something.
If you're worried about even this, the big organizations go down.
I just can't imagine how what we do in a period like that. If we were even for hours, hours is a long time if you don't have access to medical records.
Madam Chair, Supervisor, our fiber has not gone down. Well, we had one instance where back in July when the car fell through the big sinkhole on North Avenue, it split the county fiber. But we had redundancy in place that we were able to pick it up. Some of the things that you see dropping possibly on the connectivity is through VPN. This will be on the county fiber, and as Mr. Sushil has stated, there will be redundancies in place to ensure that it is up 24/7, and that is critical. Part of our agreement with the hosting, with the organization, the vendor, will be a service level agreement, and we will have uptime, 99.9999% uptime, and we will hold that to them, and if need be, put in some penalty clauses as we negotiate the contract.
And I'd just like to say that we are certainly as sensitive to a system that is going to be, about patient care and the clinical decisions. But I can tell you they work hand in hand in that the information that is submitted upon admission about diagnosis translates then to how we bill, where we bill, making sure that the user has the correct information so that we are able to generate the revenue that we need at BHD. So the advantage of the electronic medical record system is that we do have good information from point of admission all the way to the end of the cycle. And we have definitely been as sensitive to that around, the services around the clinicians and making sure that, they understand it. And one of the investments, and I think, Candace made a really good point, you're going to need a lot of support for the users because your system is only going to be as good as the users understand how to use it and they submit good information at the end. And so when you think about a system that size with multiple clinicians, information coming in and being able to track it, we recognize the need to make sure that it is, number one, user-friendly, that we also have good training and support for everyone that's going to be entering, data into that system. And we continue to talk to Laurie and Sushil, about the needs of that as we move forward.
And to that end, in the RFP, one of our requirements of the vendor is user-friendly, whether it is, and you're going to have to give me the right technology, voice recognition or the select, the arrow or your drop-down button and select versus typing things in. Training is part of the vendors, of something that we will rate them on as in their proposals. So all these points that have been brought up are things that we are very aware of and have built into to our process. Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. I do have one more card from Mary Patel Rust, who wishes to speak on this item.
Can I just sit here and just very briefly say, maybe you won't have to worry about the quality of the substance of what is being put onto into the data, because, you talk about diagnosis at the mental health center or whatever, behavioral health, has an absolutely wretched reputation, at least with some people in Milwaukee County, could be worse. Lost its up the kazoo. Psychiatrists, whatever, not taking people to bed on locked wards, resigning and getting $70,000 a year. So maybe you won't have to worry about the quality of the diagnosis, which is being put into some system that may or may not go down. Maybe the whole, pray God. Maybe, pray God, the whole mental health system will go, outpatient, inpatient. Pray God it won't be bombed, but maybe you'll sell it for a penny. Give it away. So no more horrors will go on out there against white women, black women,
this is on the record.
Asian women, and all the people that have been crucified there, put in restraints, full blooded, involuntarily medicated. So I just want to say that maybe you don't have to worry about this, because it may be that Mr. Holloway, and I respect Mr. Holloway, but he may not, in a county that has a lot of white residents and other people, white people running for county executive, be elected. And they may or may not keep that wretched hellhole place. I think you do yourselves a favor and drop the Milwaukee County mental health system like County General was dropped. And that's all I can say. I reported the letter to the medical director to the licensing board.
Okay, thank you.
For very good reason. And that's all I'll say. I think you needn't worry so much about systems. I pray God the whole place goes and you have enough sense to get the hell out of the mental health system and say, we failed. We failed for years. We've done atrocities. And it's time now to wash our hands of these evils.
Thank
I'm
you, Ms. Russ.
I couldn't feel any more strongly.
Okay, thank you. The subject is the electronic health data record keeping system. And so we need to keep our comments pertaining to that.
But you may not have to worry, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Pray God will go.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Item number 13 was an information report. Supervisor Mayo moves to receive and place on file. On that motion, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Dmitrievich?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
Thank you very much. I am excusing Chairman Mayo as he has State of the County business to attend to.